Welcome back to the third hour of Issues Etc. Hearing from you on the issue of immigration reform, the question, basic question on the table is, does God's Word have anything to say about it? The general consensus of the callers is not specifically, of course. Dennis says, God's Word's silent on this particular issue, but there are other things that God's Word has to say that might inform us about how we treat immigrants individually. Now, what do we do with the law? He says, well, why don't we welcome them in? We do have a birth rate that's just barely over replacement here in the United States. We might need to supplement our population. And the next caller says, no, that sounds too compassionate, or that kind of compassion is going too far beyond what God's Word might say. What do you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Does God's Word have anything to say about immigration reform? And while we're talking about it, should Christians hire illegal immigrants? And since our last caller did point out that to buy something that's stolen is to be complicit in the crime, if you know it's stolen, well, you know that they're picking your fruit, and you know that they're picking your vegetables, and you know that they're building your house. To buy a house where the roof was put on by illegal immigrants? Are you complicitous? And does it kind of render hollow any complaints you might have about illegal immigration? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Or is that enough moral steps removed from you that you feel like you don't have any guilt to share in? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here are a couple emails. This one comes from Kia in Birmingham. The issue of illegal immigration, writes Kia, the key word is illegal. Therefore, the law of the land, which has not been proven to be unjust or immoral, must be made to stand. If you can change the law at your whim, is it really a law? That's a very good question. We as Christians must obey the magistrate as we are admonished to do so in Romans. I think chapter 13 is the pertinent chapter there, and in 1 Peter as well. That's Kia from Birmingham. This one comes from Kelly. Also via email, issuesetc@kfuo.org. I don't know if the Bible specifically touches this. I doubt it does, but I know we are to help our neighbor. I teach English as a second language to Hispanics at my church in Irving, Texas. Hey, my dad teaches the same course in Dallas, Texas. And I'm under the assumption that many are illegal. Under this bill, I could go to jail for teaching these people English, for giving their children Christmas presents, for inviting them to church, and for helping them in general. I don't understand how we can go into other countries, often uninvited or unwanted, and evangelize to and assist needy people and feel it is our right to do so, she writes. I assume it's a she. And at the same time, want to criminalize evangelizing and assisting the needy in our own land. I will continue to help these people no matter what the law is. I feel it is my duty to assist them in any way I can, writes Kelly. Thanks for the email from both of you. What about the rest of you? 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. Here's Dennis calling from his car.
Thanks, Todd, for taking my call.
Sure.
I think that question of should you hire an illegal immigrant is, to me, it's almost like the same question when the Pharisees were asking Jesus, tell us, in your opinion, what is the right to pay Caesar taxes or not? And I think his answer to that would apply here. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God. So I think if we hire an illegal immigrant, we're stealing, and we're not paying to Caesar what we're supposed to.
Actually, I think you've drawn the application quite nicely. Thank you very much, Dennis. Well, okay, we do have the duty. This is a clear teaching, to render to Caesar that which is Caesar's. And Paul says we pay duties, taxes, honor, tribute, wherever they are due, right? Without complaining. That's a whole different issue, by the way, as we come toward tax time. Now, if someone hires an illegal immigrant, you don't pay taxes on their wages, and they don't pay taxes on their wages. I don't know how all that works, but I just know that the employer won't pay the taxes he's supposed to pay, and the employee won't pay the taxes he's supposed to pay, and that's not rendering unto Caesar by any stretch of the imagination. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Marlene calls from her car. Hi, Marlene.
Hi. I just think that the illegal residents are illegal, and the businesses that hire them are illegal also. If they say we don't want their jobs in America, but we would if they'd pay a decent living. And if the government would stop subsidizing the businessman and his business, then he could pay a reasonable price and we would take those jobs.
Marlene, thank you. You know, one of the things that people are talking about is I heard someone talk about this yesterday, rather than hitting supply, hit demand. So make it hard on, would you be in favor of this as a Christian? In the interest of rendering unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, there's a clear word of God. And in the interest of seeing to it that the laws of our land are upheld, there's the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother, two clear words of God on that. Is it a right application to then say, find the dickens out of anybody that hires an illegal alien? I mean, if they won't pay it in taxes, find the dickens out of them. Is that a stretch? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Joe calls from his car. Hi, Joe.
Actually, I'm calling from home, Todd.
Oh.
I made it home.
Safe and sound.
I'm looking at this from a kingdom of the right-hand, kingdom of the left-hand stance, I guess. In the kingdom of the right-hand, I'm as illegal as the illegal aliens are in the sense of having violated the law, violated God's law, and in Christ there's is no Jew nor Greek nor free nor slave nor Mexican nor American nor anything else for
Amen.
That matter.
Amen.
In the kingdom of the left hand, then I got to echo what you're saying with, you know, it's the law of the land and you got to obey it. As far as Hillary Clinton's comments, I think she's applying a parable that's a kingdom of the right hand parable to a left hand situation. The parable of the Good Samaritan was in response to a lawyer who approached Christ seeking to justify himself, and Christ basically slammed him with the law and said, you can't. So I think she's misapplying it in that respect.
And she would not be unique, of course, Joe, in among politicians in misapplying God's word. They almost invariably do just that. Thanks for the call. Okay, so this is how it appears to me so far, based on what you're telling me. We don't have a specific word of God on illegal immigration. And so on the specifics, beyond let's obey the laws that are on the books, let's help those who are in genuine need, don't break the law by hiring an illegal alien, no one's given me the answer to is it wrong, although not illegal, wrong to benefit from the low prices of bananas because they were, well, bananas, not right, they wouldn't grow them here, strawberries, we grow them right near my home. Strawberries picked by illegal aliens. That's a question still on the table. But we've got some clear words of God that would give us some general guidance. But we cannot say that there's a real Christian position or a scriptural position on immigration reform. Now, one of my questions for you is, does God's word have anything to say about this issue at all? Hillary Rodham Clinton, senator from New York, says, yeah.
I think we need to sound the alarm about what is being done in the Congress. This bill would literally criminalize the Good Samaritan and probably even Jesus himself.
Okay, I think what she's trying to say, do you agree or disagree with her interpretation of that passage? Joe said no. What about you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I think she's trying to say that Jesus is the author of that parable told us we ought to be helpful to those that we find in need, and now she's applying it to the immigration reform bill, saying it would make that help illegal. One of our emailers said pretty much the same thing. Let's go back to the phones. Zola calling from his car. Zola, welcome.
Yes, good afternoon. My first comment is they are not illegal. They have the right to live wherever that they want, because the Bible in the Psalm 24 say that the whole world is belong to God. This is one. Two, who say that they don't pay taxes? This nation is created, is made in the taxes that undocumented persons bring to them. You know, if it is good to them to check in the immigration status and speak in that way, it's humiliating other person, you know? If they can come to our country, and I am from the Dominican Republic, and they can come to our country and do whatever that they want. We are people of respect. We deserve to be treated with dignity and respect in the same way that we treat them when they go to our country. Don't you think so?
Zola, thank you. Well, I got to take issue with the first thing you said. It is true that the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to the Lord. That doesn't mean that, well, let's just take it from countries to your neighborhood. Does that mean your house belongs to me? And I can live in it if I want to. The earth and the fullness thereof belongs to the Lord. None of us can claim to really own what we own. Does that mean that I can live in your house if I decide to move in? Now, write that in capital letters. For the time being, this piece of geography, this odd-shaped piece of geography we call the contiguous 48, belongs to the government of the United States, and until someone bigger comes along and takes it away from us, and it'll belong to them, okay? It's kind of the way land changes hands on a grand scale. So we've got borders, and we defend them. Kind of the household of our nation. If it's wrong for me to move into your house on the basis of the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to the Lord, then it would seem to be wrong for someone to say, I can live wherever I want to live because everything belongs to God. Harry calls from Arlington Heights, Illinois. Harry, thanks for waiting and for listening up there near Chicago.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
In our teaching of ESL English Second Language classes in many churches, I read from page 3 of what we review with the folks. You call them immigrants. That's a good name, but God has another name. He calls them aliens, neighbors, strangers. And as we read here, it says, many people ask about ESL. Why is it free? The answer is very simple. Jesus so commanded. And then we have them recite these. Exodus 22, do not mistreat an alien. Leviticus 19, treat aliens as your native born. Deuteronomy 27, give justice to the alien. Deuteronomy 31, assemble aliens to listen and learn. Matthew 12, love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 25, I was a stranger and you took me in. Romans 13, love is the fulfillment of the law. In Romans 15, please your neighbor for his good.
Hey, Harry, I got a question for you.
Sure.
I know you've been teaching ESL for a long time. My dad just started teaching it as well. How do you guys officially deal, or is there an official position dealing with those who come into class and you know full well that they're probably undocumented? One of the people who emailed us earlier said that the proposed immigration reform would make it illegal for her to teach that class, to invite them to church. I'm trying to go through this email, give presents to their kids at Christmas and help them in general. Do you concur with that emailer's take on ESL, English as a second language?
To answer your compound question, there being no law that says I have to interrogate those who come to class, that is not placed upon me, we do not ask. Undoubtedly, in the hundreds we have taught, there have been some illegals. I don't know which ones they are. I simply teach those who come.
Do you, finally, before I let you go here, Harry, Do the Bible passages that you cited, do those legitimize those who enter our country undocumented, work undocumented?
They do not address that. They say do not mistreat an alien, and you are not mistreating one if you have them be subject to the same laws that we are subject to, and I say that as an alien. I, too, am foreign-born.
Oh, really? Where?
Denmark.
No kidding.
Yes.
Well,
immigrant number 229, 1928. That's me.
How old were you when you came over?
7 months.
Really? But now, and your parents entered through normal channels and...
Oh, yes.
Okay.
That's why I have a number. I'm number 229 of the allocation for that year.
Harry, thanks for listening.
Okay.
All right. Now, Harry, again, brings to the top of the pile here the tension. The tension is you help your neighbor when you find him in need. And that, without a doubt, is what God's word. He had Bible passage after Bible passage that so clearly teach these things. That doesn't mean that you then go on to say, well, then there's really no such thing as an illegal alien. It doesn't make it legitimate. But, Harry rightly pointed out, he hasn't been given the job of interrogating people asking them, are you legal? You know, who does have that job, though? Not ESL teachers, but employers do. Employers are required to make sure that those who work for them are above board, properly identified, and legal. So, can a Christian hire an illegal alien? Kathy calls from St. Charles. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, I know this is a real complicated question, but because, you know, certain illegals that are here, some, you know, a lot of them don't pay taxes, and then some of them are in our prisons or they are on certain welfare and receive things from Caesar type, you know, our government, but yet they do not give to Caesar. But I also think that the real concern is, as a citizen, is national security and that our laws are followed, and especially after 9/11. We're not just concerned here with Hispanics who want to come in here and pick our fruit and you know, provide for their families. We're also concerned with people who maybe are come to the, through the same means they might, who don't have, you know, maybe such goodwill in mind for the people who live here. And I do think it's an issue that really has to be looked at, and we either have to decide whether we're going to follow our laws or change them or not. I mean, it's one of the three.
Okay, Kathy, thank you very much. And she raises something else here. Now, you might think, well, the fear of terrorism, of terrorist threat and fighting global terrorism is purely a geopolitical issue, but not so. See, part of our responsibility as citizens, we are both the governed and the governing in this country we live in. Part of our responsibility is to see to it through our laws and those whom we elect that we are all mutually protected. It's about being concerned for the neighbor. Now, does my concern for the neighbor and my care for my neighbor and protecting my neighbor extend even to saying, now, wait a minute, I want to make sure those borders are secure as they can be. Is it irresponsible? Is it a lack of concern for the neighbor to say, look, borders, schmorders, let them come? When we know that it could be an avenue for something that will threaten my neighbor. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's open lines, issues, etc. Those are our call-in numbers, our in-studio email address. I got some more email to read. issues@kfuo.org. Before we go back to the phones, this one comes from Karen. Yes, from Karen. She writes, okay, Pastor Wilkin, is Hillary Clinton equating the Good Samaritan with the guy that stuffs 30 people into a passenger van and drives them over the border to sell them to the highest bidder? Just a question. Now, you do know how many illegal aliens make it into our country. And let's talk about our southern border. I know nothing of Canada. I don't know if people are trying to sneak in or sneak out. But let's talk about our southern border. People stuffed into passenger vans, people in trucks, in the cargo holds of buses. It's a regular business, folks. A regular big money business. Bringing people in and out. Now, is that the Good Samaritan? Chris writes this, for starters, illegally entering the country is like immigrating to that country in the same way that stealing an apple is the same as buying it. Let me read that again. It's a good analogy. Illegally entering a country is like immigrating, that is, legally entering the country, in the same way that stealing an apple is the same as buying it. Also, writes Chris, why is illegally entering the country any different from any other crime? Good question. Entering the country illegally, by definition, is a crime, hence the word illegal. If I knew someone who committed murder, would someone use the parable of the Good Samaritan as an excuse to house, hide, and feed them? Nobody in their right mind would argue that enforcing this law and turning the murderer over to the state to be dealt with accordingly is a bad thing. Why is this crime any different from other crimes? Back to the Fourth Commandment. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Thank you both, Karen and Chris, for the email. So a crime is a crime. Oh, by the way, when you email us, if you would, include your city and your state so we know where you're listening and where you come from. Issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Still about 30 minutes of open lines left for you to answer this question. Does God's Word have anything to say specifically about illegal immigration? Is there a Christian position on the debate that's taking place here in our country right now? It's an election year. That's what we're talking about. It. Is there a Christian position, a thus saith the Lord position, on immigration reform, how it ought to be done? Matt calls from Palm Bay, Florida, listens on the internet. Hi, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd. How are you doing today?
Doing well.
I actually heard that argument about the earth is the Lord's and all, and
the fullness thereof.
Yeah, from Psalm 24. I heard that earlier today on the news by somebody who was going along the same lines as Hillary was. Hillary would be further confused, I'm sure. When Jesus would say, like he did on the Sermon on the Mount, anyone who teaches people to break these commandments and doesn't keep them themselves will be least in the kingdom of heaven. You know, if we're teaching people that it's okay to break the law, come in, let's just break the law. It's okay, we'll be compassionate.
Hey, Matt, whereabouts in Florida is Palm Bay?
It's in Central Florida, right on the Atlantic coast.
Do you see an influx of either Cuban or Dominican or other Caribbean immigrants there in your part of the state?
In the last couple of years, oh yeah. Most of the work down here is being done. The cleanup work from the hurricanes and the expansion as well, where they're building homes, $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 a pop.
Now, do you think God's Word has anything to say about the issue?
Not on that issue. When it comes to keeping the law, there's a lot to be said in the Bible about that. Paul says, of course, that, you know, we shouldn't just go on sinning so that grace may abound more. No, of course not. That's a silly argument. We are supposed to abide by the laws, and I think it was Chris in the email said there. So what's the difference? Why is this law different from any of the other ones? Or why is this particular crime different from another one?
Matt, thank you very much. All right, Jerry's up next. She calls from South County. And Jerry, thank you very much for being patient.
Yeah, hi, Todd. First of all, these people are not homeless people. They have a country called Mexico, and they have families, most of them. And they're doing this simply to, help. Supply things for their families. So they're not paying any taxes here. Now, Vicente Fox will not generate jobs for his people, so they're trying to come over here to make money.
All right, we got to go here because our time is very short, Jerry. Now, that's another issue here. A lot of the money that's being made is being sent elsewhere. We'll be right back.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
St. Paul says, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then our faith is in vain, and we of all men are most to be pitied. There is no more important truth than the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for us sinners, and it's never too early to begin teaching your children and grandchildren that truth. He is risen indeed is the name of our Issues Etc. book of the month for March. It's a children's book that tells the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. Find out more about this book at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order He is Risen Indeed for your child or your grandchild, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. He is Risen Indeed is $12.99 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
Millions of years, then man is the authority.
Answers with Ken Ham. the founder of the Bible-proclaiming ministry of Answers in Genesis. Well, Ken, doesn't the belief in millions of years have to do simply with such things as the age of the universe? And if so, what has authority got to do with it?
Mark, if a Christian accepts the account of creation as written in Genesis, according to the rules of Hebrew grammar, then the 6 days of creation have to be ordinary 24-hour days. Then if you add up all the dates throughout the rest of the Bible, the only conclusion that can be made is that the entire universe is only around 6,000 years old. Now, my point is that if you accept the authority of the Word of God, then there's no other conclusion than this. The universe is only thousands of years old. It just cannot be billions of years old. Why is it then that many Christians believe in billions of years for the age of the universe? It's because they accept the fallible dating methods of fallible scientists who don't know everything and who haven't always been there. This means they're making fallible man the authority, not God. You see, the issue of the age of the universe is one of authority. Either the infinite creator God and his word are the authority, or fallible sinful man is. And so the question is, to whom do you bow?
What about this topic of astronomy in the Bible? Does God's word explain the history of the universe better than evolution? Read our free booklet on the Bible and astronomy when you visit our website, AnswersRadio.com. AnswersRadio.com.
Pastor Mark Schaefer, Coordinator of Continuing Education and Related Events at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the importance of equipping the priesthood of all believers.
It's so important that, the church, we have faithful pastors, but we also have faithful laypersons. The church can't exist without people. And the more that our laypeople understand their role and how they fit in the church, it's good for the church's mission, it's good for the church's service, it's good for the worship life of the church, too.
For more information about the spring retreats at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, including one led by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. John Seleska, visit their website, ctsfw.edu, or call area code 260-452-2204, 260-452-2204.
Mornings on AM 850 KFUO offer you a Christian way to start your weekday. Hi, I'm Paul Clayton, inviting you to hear your inspirational Christian favorites, great guests, and the information you need to prepare you for the road ahead. And after the morning show at 9:30, stick around for Focus on the Family on AM 850 KFUO.
Service of the Buddha, as we seek to follow the precepts of Allah, the Merciful, as we invoke the assistance of the God of Abraham, as we call upon the name of Jesus.
Now, that, oddly enough, was Father Rudolph Juarez of the Gamaliel Foundation chiming in on the issue of immigration reform, drawing all the religions together, as many as he can name in that soundbite, in favor of his opposition. This was at a demonstration against the immigration reform being proposed in the legislature here in the U.S. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's open lines for your questions and your comments. My question, and many of you are answering, does the Bible have anything to say in particular about immigration reform? Is this an issue upon which there's a Christian position, that is a scriptural position, where, or can Christians just disagree goodwill and clear conscience on the issue of how to go about immigration reform or whether to go about immigration reform? What about whether or not it is legal to hire an immigrant or to consume goods that directly, the price has directly been lowered by the use of illegal labor? There are lots of them, by the way. I mentioned just two, your fruit and your vegetables and your house. I hail from Dallas, Texas. Two of my brothers just built new places. Weren't a lot of white guys building those houses down there. Now, the contractor might have been. But at least by their own account, they suspected that much of the labor that put the house together was illegal. And you can be sure they paid less for the house as a result. They weren't paying union wages if they were illegals. All right, now think about this for a second. Jerry, before the break, said, look, they have homes. They're not homeless. They have a home. They have a country. She mentioned Mexico. So let's put ourselves in the illegals' shoes for a moment. And just think, this is going to be hard for you to imagine. I know it will. It's hard for me to imagine as well. But you don't live in the U.S. You live in Mexico. And you're not Vicente Fox. You're not the guy living on the hill in the penthouse outside Mexico City. You're the average Mexican, all right? Just stay with me. You have a family, perhaps even an extended family. They need to eat. At the very least, they need to eat. 10 miles across the border is the shining city on a hill, the U.S., the land of opportunity. You know full well that if you can just get in, you can work. And as I mentioned before the break, a large portion of what is made by illegal labor in the United States leaves this country tax-free, leaves this country, and goes back to the country of the immigrant's origin. It does. The Mexican economy fairly well depends on it, okay? That's what Vicente Fox knows. All right. That's you. You got kids to feed, and there's the opportunity, and if you can just make it in, and you're willing to work, you can feed your kids. We've been asking about whether or not we should change our reform based upon Scripture. We've been asking about whether or not you should hire an illegal alien based upon Scripture or consume the goods that, whose prices are dropped by illegal labor. If you're in that man's shoes, do you cross the border and work? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Is he sinning? Think about it. Give me a call. 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. Barry's been patiently waiting in Washington, D.C. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Todd. Oh, I love your subject today. I've got to tell you, I'm hearing a lot of law, but not much gospel.
Okay.
From the callers, and some of them are edging slightly towards that whitewashed sepulcher role. Look, the Bible does talk about it, does talk about immigration. Do you remember when Jesus brought up when he healed the man on the Sabbath and he was accused of breaking the law? And he said that a man can pull a mule from a ditch on the Sabbath so he could heal. If a man has children who might starve, who might die, who might have all sorts of problems, and he doesn't cross the border to get a job, you got to wonder what sort of father he is. I mean, I see people out in the world. I was active in Central America during the Reagan years, and I've been active in Asia since. There's people out there who sell their children because they can't feed them. There's people who sell their children into slavery because there's no other way to keep them alive. There's people who have to decide which one of their children are going to live and die, and we're worried about paying a little bit of extra taxes because we let these people in.
Barry.
If a person hires one
now,
of
wait a minute,
people,
Barry, before I let you go on, I'm agreeing with what you're saying here, but you're doing a pretty good job of shelling out the law as well. Right?
Well, I have a tough time finding the gospel. To me, it's all law.
I'm hearing you. I'm hearing what you're saying. And my goodness, think about this. And thank you very much, Barry. I appreciate your call. I really do. Mm-hmm. Think about what awaits the daughter of this man in Mexico. You know, he can make money. He's got daughters. Prostitution pays well, or it pays enough. Lesser of two evils. He says to himself in the dark of night one night, look, my daughters sell their bodies on the streets to feed themselves, or I cross the border taking my life into my hands and perhaps risking incarceration, deportation, whatever else, and commit an illegal act to feed them. Or I could go down to the beach and dig a hole and I would find the leprechaun's crock of gold. No, that's probably not an option for this guy. Jason calls from Durham, North Carolina. He listens on the internet. Hi, Jason.
Hi, I wanted to contrast a couple of things. I'm originally from southern Illinois, and I know that in the Cobden area, they bring in lots of summer help to pick the apples. I don't have a problem with that because I'm pretty sure that they use legal aliens. They basically pay for a green card to come in and work for the summer. But compared to that, here in the Raleigh-Durham area, most of them are illegal. And a lot of the jobs, especially road work, highway work, restaurant work, are done by illegals. And I really can't see where they say that these people are doing jobs that other people won't do, because I know a lot of people who can't get jobs because they're not willing to take the lower wages.
And, yeah, you're right. And, of course, the wages are driven down by the fact that people will work for whatever they'll work for. Mm-hmm. And thank you very much. I appreciate that call. See how complex this is? You know, Matt Harrison once said on the air, and I think he caught some flack for it, but I the more I think about it in a case like this, the more you think, is there any way of keeping your hands clean? We have a law, and no one's going to argue with the fact that the law's on the books and the law ought to be obeyed. But can you keep your hands clean on this one? When it comes to what you buy, how was it? How did it get to you? Why does it cost so little? Why do I have more money in my pocket when I walk away from the grocery store when I buy certain things? All right, this is what Carl writes. If an illegal alien comes to you for food, feed them. If you don't know that, if you know that they're illegal, turn them over to the authorities. Put the employers who knowingly hire illegals in jail. Boy, all I was doing is just say, find the dickens out of them. Carl goes on, it is wrong, even sinful for Christians or anyone else. Good point. To knowingly aid and abet people who break the law because they are willfully disobedient to the government God has placed over them. By the way, Carl concludes, if we would have a national VAT on every, I don't know what a VAT is. Do you know what a VAT is, Jeff?
No.
Carl's using jargon here. If we had a national VAT, something tax, probably, I'm going to guess, on everything purchased, the income tax issue would be solved regardless of illegals. Well, not knowing what a VAT is, I can't comment on his last point. But there's nothing, everything else in the email is airtight. Now, we had a caller earlier from Arlington Heights. He said he does not inquire. It's not his business to inquire whether or not those he meets through English as a second language courses are illegal or not. Leave that to the people who've been charged with that. There are people who are hired, charged by our government to do that very thing. But if you know it, should you turn them in? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, VAT, value added tax. Thank you very much. And again, not being an economist, I don't know whether that's a smart idea or not. That's why I have TurboTax to do my taxes and figure it all out, because that stuff just makes my head spin. All right, so why did all the phone lights go dark when I asked the question about you're the Mexican? You're the one with the kids to feed. You're the one who lives 10 miles from the border. You're the one who has the opportunity, perhaps your buddies come to you in the middle of the day and say, tonight we go to Texas. We get jobs. We send the money back to our families. I want to hear from you. Do you do it? Now, please think it through carefully before you call. Do you do it? We had a caller just a minute ago. He said, if someone won't take the job, go find the job wherever it is to feed his family, to protect his family, whatever it is, what kind of a father is he? He's going to choose the lesser of two evils. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Look, I'm not saying, I'm not talking about getting out, you know, our guitars and strumming sad songs for people who are breaking the law here, but I am saying, if you, just hypothetically, if you were in Mexico, if you were the Mexican with the opportunity, illegal as it is, to come to this country, feed your family, send money back, you don't care about Jacinta Fox, you don't care about that, you care about your kids eating and staying off the streets and out of crime. Do you do it? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Eerily silent now. Look, if you called before with your thoughts on Scripture, chime in on this one. Really. Oh, by the way, our email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. You can email or call anonymously if you want to. issuesetc@kfuo.org. while I'm waiting for your calls, and I am waiting, by the way. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, not only has a great campus up there where they train men for the pastoral ministry, but they also send out their very talented faculty for continuing education opportunities all through the spring and the summer of this year, all across the country. There are so many places they're going, I can't even name them all. From coast to coast, someplace near you. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Continuing education, learning, being taught at the feet of the men who teach pastors in the church, the likes of our very best guests, Dr. Larry Rast, Arthur Just, all of those, and many more participating and coming to a place near you. Our website address, issuesetc.org. Now, there's a registration fee for these local continuing education opportunities that is due 30 days before each course is scheduled to begin, so you need to find out when yours is and plan accordingly. A number to call also to get more information, area code 260-452-2241, 260-452-2241. All right, we've got 10, 12, and counting minutes. Let's go back to this question. This is Javen calling from his car. Hi, Javen.
Hey. Let me ask everybody. Well, you covered the first question I had about the law of the land and all that, and all, but that, are the Chinese illegal immigrants that they've got all pinned up, are they going to get the same privileges that the Mexicans do? And I got one more question. I mean, you're talking about them coming over here to feed their kids. If I get down and out and can't make a living, what are they going to do to me if I go to peddling drugs, you know? I mean, it's illegal, ain't it?
Yeah. Now, what is the Chinese situation you're talking about before I let you go?
I stayed on the news the other day where they had a bunch of Chinese immigrants that come over here illegally. They've got them in a detention center, and China won't let them come back over there. But I hadn't heard anybody say anything about those. When they catch him, they send them back, or try to, anyway.
Yeah, I think they probably do. Thank you very much for the call. Well, there's another wrinkle. I mean, we could at least pull this out of that. There's the wrinkle of drugs. With the immigrants sometimes comes the drugs. Not every illegal immigrant is involved in the drug trade, but the two are parallel tracks. It's not just terrorism that comes over the borders. It's not just hemorrhaging national economy that comes over the borders. It is also the drug problem, which is no smaller than it was when we started our war on drugs. Kia in Birmingham, Alabama, listens on the internet. Kia, welcome.
Hey, Todd. I know I emailed, but I have to say this. You know, my husband and I talked about, you know, what if it were you in Mexico, would you do it? The fact of the matter is, if you do come over, you have to come over knowing you're breaking the law and that if you're punished by the law, it's just. You know, you take that chance, you take that risk, you do what you have to do to take care of your family, but you recognize the risks involved in it, you know. Don't try to come over and start protesting in the middle of the streets because the laws don't suit you. The laws of the land that you're not even a citizen of don't suit you, you know. And I say this, my best friend is Brazilian. She was an illegal immigrant. My mother helped her. We lived in Buffalo right on the other side of the Canadian border. My mother helped them get to Canada, get to Portugal, and get their citizenship. So, I mean, I know what the families go through, you know, but mm-hmm. at the same time, you can't change the laws. Or, I mean, you can change the laws, really, but you can't complain about the laws of the land for a nation that you don't belong to. And you can't try to be a martyr when you've done something that you knew to be wrong.
Thank you, Kia.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the email and thanks for the call as well. Now, there is another option here, of course, and that is to try and enter legally. The Mexican, my hypothetical Mexican father and husband, he can try to enter legally. He would go at the end of a very, very long list. In fact, one of the reform bills that's being considered, heard about it this morning, would put even the people who are here illegally on the list, but at the end of the list. Let's make them citizens, they say. We got those emails ready to go here. All right, this one comes from Gail, and she writes this. My question is, if there are legal means by which to enter this country, Gail's thinking along the same lines I am, why would we sanction anyone coming illegally? Are they coming to avoid paying taxes here as legal citizens? Are they felons in their own countries? Are they avoiding taxation in their own country? Why do you come illegally if the U.S. has open borders and legal ways to become a citizen? I don't understand the debate. You know, I wish I had an answer for that, because I guess my initial response, Gail, would be it must not be that easy to simply say, oh, State Department, I'd like to come in. And they'd say, well, fill out the forms and welcome in. So it must not be that easy. But she raises some very good questions. Perhaps those who enter illegally, some of them are entering precisely because they know it's cheaper and quicker and more expedient to enter that way, if they don't get caught. Here's an email from Michael. This is a good discussion. We have all sinned. That I am convinced of by the power of the Holy Ghost. We need to lift up hearing God's voice and now and obey him. Pay Caesar what is Caesar's and God what is God's. Didn't one apostle make the argument that I will obey God and break the civil law or code? I got to address that one. Don't let me leave that one behind. And I believe that the answer lies here close to God's conscience, Michael writes. Okay. Well, let me address the one thing that he put out there. Yes, the apostles, not just one of them, but all of them in concert, very early in the book of Acts, were charged officially by the governing authorities, in this case the Sanhedrin. They had local jurisdiction. They were the governing elders of the entire nation of Israel. In a sense, kind of the Congress and the Supreme Court locally for the Jewish people under Roman domination, all rolled into one. The same people who put Jesus to death, by the way. But they very legally said, don't preach in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't preach, heal, or do anything in the name of Jesus Christ to the apostles. They said, you do it, you know what's going to happen. We'll punish you. And what did the apostles say? They said, look, we're going to let you sort that out with God, but we have to obey God rather than men. Whether it is right for us to continue to do this or not is really up to God. We will obey what God has told us to do rather than you. Now, what were they being forbidden to do? They were being forbidden. They were being told that they should not preach or do anything in Christ's name. And there are instances where we obey God rather than men. That's why I asked the question, has God said anything to indicate that we should disobey the laws that we have in this country when it comes to immigration until we manage to change them? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's see. Herman's calling from Illinois. Hi, Herman.
Thank you for taking my call. Certainly, the Old Testament and the Israelite culture, God's word applied both to rich and poor. There were certainly, under that, admonitions to charity and to the stranger and the foreigner, but neither were they exempt from the law. The poor had the responsibility of the law on them as much as the rich. Certainly, the rich are taken to task for their abuses of it, but the law certainly applied to the poor. They were not exempt from that responsibility because of the lack of material means.
So you're dealing with the issue of my hypothetical Mexican father and husband.
Right. Like, could I go into Mexico illegally? What would happen to me? Or in any other country, England, I have a passport, but it's currently expired. I'd have to get it renewed. Or any other country in the world, if we as an American citizen went there without any visa, passport, or anything, just willy-nilly, what would happen to us?
Herman, you raised some good questions there, and that is true. We can speak not only specifically of the Old Testament law, toward the civil law over the nation of Israel, in the Old Testament, we can speak about the moral law that still holds sway among all men. A socioeconomic status does not change whether or not we're bound by that law. That's why I talked about it in terms of the lesser of two evils. Not if you're poor, it's okay. No, if you're poor, it's still wrong. But do you do it as the lesser of two evils? Bill calls from Eureka. Hi, Bill.
Yes, the economy of Mexico isn't doing so good or whatever, the Mexican government is actually assisting people to come in illegally. And so we are supporting evidently a corrupt government by allowing this.
That seems to be the picture. I don't know the details, but it does seem to be the picture that there, at the very least, is not a lot of effort on the part of the Mexican government to curtail illegal immigration.
Well, those that are in Texas where they're coming in, they quite frequently, from what I've come across in some other programs, the police is over there, they see the police over there on the border, and monitoring the radio, they know the police monitors their radio when they were patrolling, an assisting border patrol, and when they listen in on the Mexican police, yes, the Mexican police is assisting the people to come into this country illegally.
Daryl, I'm sorry, thank you very much for the call. I got one more caller here. Got to wrap things up. I want to hear from Daryl in Sacramento, California, listening on the Internet. Hi, Daryl.
Hello, Todd. How are you doing today?
Doing well.
Good. You know, I just got home from work, and I heard your subject. I had to call in. My wife and I, we manage a small apartment complex here in California, and the owner sometimes approves people to live here that probably are illegals. And it's, and when you hear people say that, you know, well, we just got to stop them and get rid of them, things like that, it's kind of hard to take when I see people like this on a daily basis. And it's such a sticky subject. I just wanted to call in and share that you know, my wife and I, we deal with these people, you know, on a daily basis.
Daryl, thanks. Our time is short, and thank you for calling. Thank you for listening as well. There's always going to be a tension here. I asked before, can we keep our hands clean on this one and say, well, I haven't sinned. I've never bought anything or contributed to the problem. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Perhaps unknowingly, yes, but your hands are as dirty as anybody else's and mine. You know, we traveled abroad recently, and you take your passport, you take your papers. That's how you do it legally. You respect our country's laws and their country's laws, even when you go into places like the Dominican Republic or Mexico. Went there recently, took our passport. Here's where we stand. Under the law, this law that curbs all human behavior, we obey it because God says to obey it is to show honor and obedience to Him. But it's more about than about obedience. That's where the tension exists for the Christian. Because we live not only in the left-hand kingdom, where the law holds sway and force is the coin of the realm, but in the right-hand kingdom as Christians, where the coin of the realm is mercy and sacrifice and care for our neighbor, no matter who he is, where he comes from, or how he got here. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.